Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bibles turn to John in chapter 14. John chapter 14, going to read a half a dozen verses there and get into the topic this morning. I want to preach on who the Holy Spirit is and what he means to my life and what he means to your life as well. I trust that God will get all of our attention. You maybe hear some, here's the danger, and you hear the same old preacher. You hear the same phrases. You hear the same tone of voice. And if you're not careful, it'll lull you to sleep. It's hard for me to imagine that Pastor Rader would be boring, but for some people, I know that's the way it is. My wife tells me that all the time. So you hear the same drone, the same voice. We need to hear from heaven. We need a good word from heaven this morning. Stand with me, please. I know you just sat down, but stand with me and let me read just a couple of verses. Verse 12, "Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Look at verse 26. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Go from there, turn the page, and let's go over to verse 26 of chapter 15. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Look at verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." He, when he comes, will exalt Jesus. Father, we ask your blessing on this morning. We pray, God, I pray you'd help this poor preacher to somehow relate Bible truth in a way that it will change lives. God, would you not only whet our appetite for what can be, God, not only convict us of where we are right now in our shortcomings, in our sin, but God, would you challenge us and motivate us to surrender that we might be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray these things right now in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. The last thing I want to do is humanize the Holy Spirit, but I want to use some words, they're actually Bible words, but I want to use some words that'll help you, but I just don't want you to misconstrue it. Don't think, oh, he's my buddy, you know, he's not, that he's something less than deity, because he's not. He is the third person of the Trinity. Personal pronouns are used in your King James Bible to describe the emphasis, Holy Spirit. He is part of the Godhead. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis in chapter 1. This is introduction, so it's got to be fast. I'll try not to belabor it, but I want you to know this. He is the very God, third person of the Trinity. Verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Hebrew word for God is the word Elohim. It is a plural. It's a singular plural. It's like the word team, which has many members, but it's one entity. That is the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." We read in the book of Colossians and other passages of Scripture that the Creator is none other than Jesus Christ, and he holds all things together. And we find here there was not only God the Father, but God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at creation. Look at verse 26, same chapter. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." And it goes on and gives commands. Our, us, that is the Godhead. That is not you and me having part of that. That is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity. Trinity's taught all over the Word of God. I know you part-time Bible scholars, you say, oh, the word Trinity isn't in the Bible. So what? There's a lot of words that aren't in the Bible. The doctrine of the Trinity, I can show you it all over the Old Testament, and I can show you it all over the New Testament. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 86 times in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit is mentioned 90 times in the New Testament. Were it not for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to come to that in just a moment. Everything, the Holy Spirit, again, I'm not trying to humanize. He is fresh air in this stale atmosphere in which we live. The Holy Spirit is rocket fuel to the church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the glue that holds us together as the family of God. It is comforting to know that God has got it all under control. We read in the Bible, another sermon, about guardian angels, ministering spirits, ministering to the saints of God. We read that in the scriptures. Those ministering spirits, those guardian angels are under the instruction and the guidance and the direction of God the Holy Spirit. And He's there for us. We have God the Holy Spirit that watches over us. That is a wonderful truth. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We have a resource the world knows nothing about. The key to unlock the unlimited rest and power and peace of God is the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have a Bible without the Holy Spirit. You know that? All scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed. That is the Holy Spirit of God. It's given to us for instruction. Here's a thought. This just occurred to me. I try to summarize things. I'm pretty good at summarizing things and making it real simple. Why do you suppose that is? It's my simple mind. And here's how it happens. I meditate on the Word of God. I meditate on a truth that God has given to me. And I'm driving down the road, or I'm working, or I'm sitting in my lazy boy, or I'm somewhere, and I'm going over it. And I put it in my own words, and I kind of put this in my own words, and I describe it in such a way that, man, it hooks, and I got it, and I understand. As a child of God, this is not an understatement. It's not an overstatement. Everything I know about God, it's because of the Holy Spirit. Everything God has done for me in this world, on this planet in which we're living, it is through God, the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a moment. We wouldn't have a Bible without the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have direction from God. We wouldn't have anointing. We wouldn't have illumination. The Spirit-filled life, and that's what I'm going to end up getting to this morning. I want to say this. This simplifies it. Is an amazing life. The Spirit-controlled life is, listen to this, a supernatural life. Things happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. God leads in ways that we wouldn't do on our own. I owe so much to God the Holy Spirit, who glorifies God the Son, who is the epitome of the entire Godhead we read in the book of Colossians and chapter 1. The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to leave. And it's expedient for me to leave. They said, Lord, we don't want you to go. He said, I'm going to leave. I got to go to Calvary. I'm going to leave. I'm going to ascend on up into heaven, but I'm not going to leave you alone. Listen to this, child of God. You are not alone today. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit of God. Right. You are not alone. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone, fellas. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm telling you, I've got to go, and I will send the Comforter. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. The one who aids us in everything that we do. And because the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, and the Holy Spirit's coming was manifested with cloven tongues of fire on the heads of the preachers there in the upper room. That was they didn't have the New Testament yet. So God had to manifest himself several different times and in several different ways. But the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Man, he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Let me rehearse a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does. Number one, he's the one that baptizes us into the family of God when we get born again. It's the Holy Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. He's not talking about water baptism there. He's talking about being baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. When this sinner man received Jesus as a little boy now, when I was an 8-year-old boy and I received Jesus as my Savior, I wasn't dunked in any water. That water doesn't wash away any sin. But I was immersed by the Holy Spirit of God into the family of God. The very moment I was quickened, That is another ministry of the Holy Spirit. John and chapter 6 and verse 63 says, it is the Spirit that quickens. So I was quickened, made alive is what the word means, by the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Let's all turn over there. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Comforter. As soon as I find the book of Galatians. Chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is not the right verse. But that's okay. Just trust me on this. Galatians 2, 20, Galatians 2. Let me, 2 verse, no, 16, I want to come back to that later. Chapter 5, verse 25, I want to come back to that later. But you know and I know, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, we read that this morning in 2 Timothy. In that first chapter, the Holy Spirit quickens us. He makes us alive. We're adopted. We're baptized into the family of God. He indwells us as believers. He seals us. Ephesians 1:13, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Ephesians in chapter 1. Don't turn there. We got to move. Chapter 1 verses 17 and verse 18, we are enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, we understand Scripture because of the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John in chapter 2. We're anointed by the Holy Spirit, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. We don't need to look anywhere else for answers. We've got the Bible, we've got the Word of God, and we've got the Holy Spirit as our teacher. And he anoints us, he enlightens us, how to use that word, that is a great Bible word as well, that we might understand Scripture. That's why the unsaved man cannot understand the Bible. It doesn't make any sense to them. Oh, it's a bunch of stories. They have no, it's like they can't put two and two together and equal four. And sometimes when you're trying to argue Scripture with an unsaved person, you're just banging your head against the wall. They don't understand. The only thing they could possibly understand is that they're a sinner and they're in need of Christ, and they understand those salvation verses. That's it. That's why they go off into all kinds of wacky doctrines, and that's where all these cults come from. And you say, where do they get that? How do they? There's the Bible right in front of them, written so they can understand it, and they're not able to comprehend. It's because they're reading somebody else's mail. They don't have the Holy Spirit to enlighten them, to help them to understand even the baby things of the Word of God. He gives to us, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, unction. That's zeal. I pray for that every time I preach. I surrender to God, ask for forgiveness of sins and a cleansing and a fresh application of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And the older I get, the more I realize how big that is and how real that is. And then I ask God for not only infilling, but unction. God, help me to have some zeal. Help me to preach it like it's reality, like you got something to share. And I do. You have everything you need in God, the Holy Spirit. God has not left you alone. He's not left me alone. He encourages us. He comforts us. We already read John 14 and verse 16. He empowers us. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit is for you as a believer. He's going to help you all through your life. Everything I know about God is because of the precious Holy Spirit. I understand the Bible that he inspired, that he wrote. He gives me inside truth on that. That is a wonderful truth. Everything I know about God, everything that God has ever done for me in this world, in this body in which I'm living, he's done it by way of the Holy Spirit, who is God. He is God. We don't worship a three-headed God. We don't worship three gods. He is Elohim. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. I don't either, because God's bigger than me. There's a lot of things about God I don't understand. Do you understand the word eternal? I don't think you do. God didn't start anywhere. He had no beginning. You say, how's that possible? He's always been. He's God. You say, I don't know if I can get my mind around that. You'll never get your mind around that. You get home to heaven one day, you'll understand. Yeah, you'll understand how big God is. What a God we serve. The Holy Spirit of God. We owe the Lord so much. Everything I know is because of Him. All right, now, I've got four things I want to share, and I'm going to make it really quick because it is already 20 minutes too. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Turn over there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is pictured with oil. That's one of the manifestations. It's used often in the Word of God, oil. And I thought of this all by myself, I think, years ago. It's like the Church of Jesus Christ is a great machine. Allow me to use that term, because some men will relate to this. All kinds of moving parts. Oh, man, and the tolerances are real. All kinds of moving parts. And without the oil of the Holy Spirit, it's going to seize up. It's going to stop operating. It's going to freeze. You're going to burn it up. It's going to come to a stop. You've done that to an engine before if you're a little boy and you grew up building, putting motors together. You understand what that is? Dad said, I told you to check the oil. Well, Dad, I thought it was good a couple weeks ago. It just seized right up. Just seized up solid. It's done. It's all over. The Church of Jesus Christ needs the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're intolerant people. Our tolerances are about that much. And we're, everybody's moving and going in different directions. And we're all got a different purpose. And if there's no Holy Spirit there, there's no Holy Spirit to bond us together. We're all worshiping the same God, same teacher, same Bible. No Holy Spirit there. Then we're going to seize up. There's going to be friction is what there's going to be. Somebody's going to get red hot. And you're going to cause the whole motor to shut down. And I'm telling you, that is sin. And the Bible says here in Ephesians in chapter 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know that Holy Spirit of God that has sealed you? Don't grieve Him with sins. Sins of commission. Doing wrong. I got more trouble than I can handle with Tim Rader in all reality. And if I'm not careful, I'll get caught up in committing sins that will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is deeper than you think. God loves you. And He's given His very best for you. And by committing sin, you break His heart. Amen. You grieve Him. The Holy Spirit of God that is inside of you and seals you and is all around you and is trying to bless you and lead you in life. You choose wrong and you do wrong and you grieve Him. You cause sorrow. I wrote the actual definition down. Sins of commission to cause Him to be mournful. That doesn't describe the Holy Spirit. Sorrowful. We're selfish. And we want our way. And God's not able to do in our lives and in our families and in our church and in this country in which we live the things that He wants to do because we as New Testament believers and churches grieve the Holy Spirit. And we've already read John chapter 14 and verse 12. He said, you'll do greater things because I'm going to the Father to intercede for you. And I'm sending the Comforter. But if we grieve the Holy Spirit, we cause Him to mourn. We break His heart. You know what that is as a parent. Every parent, and you'll experience more and more as you go through life, where your son or your daughter chooses wrong. And you can't tell them how much it hurts you. They will never understand. And it hurts. And it cuts. Can you imagine what I do to God? Can you imagine what you do to God by being your selfish, pitiful person and trying to get everything your way all the time? And he talks about sins of the Spirit here in Ephesians. Well, let me just summarize it. Verses 30 through 32, verses 23 through 29, he's talking about bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking. He said, you put all this stuff away, the malice. You got to get rid of that. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If God can forgive me of all that I've done for Him and do for Him continually, I think I ought to be able to take care of the brethren. It says up in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth. Shut up. He says in the verse prior to that, shut up and get busy for God. Kick the devil out. Don't be stealing. Don't be someone that is angry and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't be a liar. Verse 25. You got to put on the new man. You got to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. If I'm not surrendered, then I am guilty of grieving the Holy Spirit. There's another sin I could commit. Quenching the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit of God. Another message, time out. Just hold that thought for just a moment. A sin that I'm not going to preach this morning is the unpardonable sin. That's against the Holy Spirit. Say, preacher, what is that? I could take you in the Bible and show you, and I'll preach a message on it sometime in the near future. Maybe it'll have to be a Sunday night. It's telling God no. When he comes to you to save him, it's telling God, no, I'm going to do it my way. That is the unpardonable sin. That's a blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. After all he's done, what I'm preaching this morning, you tell him you don't need him, you don't want him, you don't want salvation, you tell God no. That's the only unforgivable sin is the rejection of God the Holy Spirit. The sin unto death, which I'm not going to preach, only the unbeliever can commit that. Only the believer can commit the sin unto death. That is taking advantage of the grace of God, the mercy of God in my life, over and over again, making a mockery of the grace of God. And God finally says, you're coming home right now. You're my son, you're my daughter, I'm taking you home. That's called the sin unto death. 1 John chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. It's actually in several places. Quenching the spirit. That is the sin of quenching the spirit is just what it sounds like. To stifle, to be the wet blanket on the flame, to water it down, to be the one that you're not all into sin, but there's sins of omission, that you're things you're not doing, you're supposed to be doing. I could talk about church attendance, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. I could talk about talking in a way that doesn't honor God. I could preach this morning about dressing in a way that doesn't honor God. I said it this morning in Sunday school. It doesn't matter if the world thinks you're modest, it's what God thinks is modest. That's that they comparing themselves among themselves is not wise. If anybody starts going naked, I mean, what's you can get close to that? You got to be kidding me. So there's sins of omission, things we're supposed to be doing that we're not doing, and quenching the Holy Spirit, putting the fire out, quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Some of you, I probably need, let me make this announcement. We have church at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Thought I'd tell you that right now. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday night too. I thought I'd tell you that. And let you know. You say, because nobody sins alone. Nobody backslides alone. It's a group thing. People will follow you because everybody's a leader in one way or another at some level. So it's important that we not only not grieve the Holy Spirit as a child of God. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. Last thing I want to do is be that wet blanket and put the fire out. People don't need to see your naked body. You're not God's blessing to this world. I know that sounds just a little bit crude, but that's what's going on in the world today. And if you're all caught up in the beauty of your own body, I'm gonna pray that God makes you fat and ugly real quick. Puts a wart on the end of your nose, makes your nose grow long. Man, that'll serve you right. You know, I just pray that happens soon. If your television or your sporting event or your computer, your any of your social media, if that's where it's at, I'm going to pray you lose your cell phone, your television breaks before the Super Bowl tonight. I mean, everything just kind of falls apart because, man, that's not, you can take something that's not necessarily evil and make it the ultimate thing in your life. That's idolatry. That's an idol. That's what that is. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. And be not drunk. Let's see. 5, 16. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. That's a deal. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I'm going to live in the presence of God. I'm out of time, so I'm wrapping this up real fast. I want it in a practical sense. I want to practice the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm only going to do that if I'm conscious of him. I'm only going to do that if I do the very last thing that I'm going to make a big thing about this morning, and that is be filled with the Spirit. I need to be transformed by the Spirit of God. Go to Romans in chapter 12. Romans and chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can be the God, the man, or the woman that God has designed you to be if you'll just surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The more you hold back, you limit the Holy Spirit. The more you hold back, you quench the Holy Spirit. The more you hold back, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You say, preacher, how am I going to walk in the Spirit? How am I going to be that one that is transformed by God, the Holy Spirit? By being filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's end with this morning. Ephesians and chapter 5, verse 18. This is what makes everything different. I am not an artist. I am not a carpenter. I am not a good mechanic. I might be able to be a good mechanic. I chose not to be a good mechanic after a while. I could never paint a priceless oil painting. But if somehow, this is just fictitious, the spirit of Rembrandt could enter this body and guide these hands and these thoughts, I could paint a priceless oil painting. I could not write a symphony. But if somehow Beethoven's spirit could come into my being, boy, I could write music like you would not believe. I'm not someone that could build a china cabinet. But if a master craftsman, his spirit could enter that, you see what I'm saying? I can't build a church. I can't save a soul. But if the Holy Spirit of God would come into this being and control him, then the work of God gets done. It says here in Ephesians chapter 5, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That's sinful. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, what does that take? Two things: saved and surrendered. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit is to not only be indwelt by the Holy Spirit and sealed by the Holy Spirit, but on the throne of your life, in your heart, God sits. He controls you. That is being a Spirit-filled Christian. My friend, if you would get filled with the Spirit of God, you will receive peace like you would never know without outside the Spirit of God. That's that resource that the world knows nothing about. If you would be filled with the Spirit of God, you would know the power of God like this world knows nothing about. It is completely foreign to them, the power of God. And God will use you because you are a tabernacle. Your body is that tabernacle, that temple of the Holy Spirit as a New Testament Christian. And if you will surrender to him, he will take control. The Spirit-filled life is an amazing life. Some Christians have never experienced it. The closest they got is the day they got saved. And then they started doing their own thing again. The Spirit-filled life, the Spirit-controlled life, is a life that's beyond expression. God will use you in ways you never dreamed. You are looking at a man that should never have pastored a church. You're looking at a man that does not have any kind of speaking ability at all. You're looking at a man that has no right, or there's no rhyme or reason to God ever using me. But when you get filled with the Spirit of God, man, he directs you. And he does the work. Do you hunger? Are you thirsty for that? Every day I pray for the filling power of the Holy Spirit. Every single day. God will use you. John 14, verse 12. Let's all turn back there. I'll read it. John chapter 14, verse 12. This is what I refer to as Holy Spirit punch. A guy can stand up and just preach a sermon, or he can have punch to it. Holy Spirit punch. It says here in this 12th verse, verily, verily, this is important. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. I'm going to go, fellas. I'm going to leave. It's expedient that I go. It'll be good for you. And then I'll send the Comforter. The church is going to be born. Going to explode on the world for 2,000 years. Then I'll come and take you home. Then I'm going to deal with my nation Israel again, my people Israel. But I'll never leave you. We are not alone.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.